Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In high-dimensional physical systems, controls don't usually fail gracefully. They crash. These failures occur when the underlying dynamics shift suddenly and structurally. When this happens, a model that was tracking perfectly an hour ago becomes useless. Not because of noise or slow drift, but because the physical system crossed some internal threshold. A bifurcation, a mode transition, a phase change, and from that point on, everything behaves differently. In plasma physics, especially in the context of magnetic confinement fusion, these transitions aren't anomalies. They're fundamental. Understanding when and why they happen is the difference between a stable burn and a serious disruption. A tokamak, in particular, is a nonlinear system, and the instabilities that arise, the fishbone, sawtooth oscillations, neoclassical tearing modes, internal kinks, aren't just passive diagnostics of a failing state. They're actually active participants in the degradation and disruption. So if you're working on a fusion project and trying to build systems to control a plasma, your models have to do more than extrapolate the smooth part of the trajectory. They need to predict when the regime itself, the governing dynamics of the physical system, is about to change. That's not trivial. The governing equations here are a coupled set of nonlinear partial differential equations, PDEs. Even with modern simulation codes like the gyrokinetic toroidal code, GTC, running a fully resolved gyrokinetic model across the entire state space is computationally expensive, often to the point of being impractical. So historically, people turned to reduced order models, or ROMs, models that approximate high-dimensional dynamics using low-dimensional representations. Simplified PDEs, Galerkin projections, or just POD modes, those are proper orthogonal decomposition modes selected from fully resolved simulations. These work fine if the dynamics are smooth, linear, or at least slowly varying, but when bifurcations hit, bifurcations being the point where the system transitions between qualitatively different dynamic regimes, these reduction methods break. The low-rank assumption collapses. The projection bias becomes invalid. And worse, none of these models tell you when this breakdown is about to happen. What you really want is a model that can compress state snapshots into something low-dimensional but still meaningful. Something that can reconstruct mode structures with high fidelity, track their evolution over time, and surface signs of transitions, ideally before the system crosses over into instability. The paper we're looking at today presents a model that tries to do exactly that. It's called FTL, short for Fusion Transfer Learning, and it takes an encoder-decoder neural network trained on simulation data and tunes it to recognize when a plasma mode is entering a new, what they call, dynamical regime. What makes it worth examining is that it doesn't need much data to do it. As I said, it's a transfer learning system. This is fine-tuning we're talking about, not wiping out a model and starting over. The encoder is initially pre-trained on a wide base of linear simulations. Then, when it sees nonlinear data, it fine-tunes the model to adapt fast. In other words, we're not trying to learn everything from scratch. It's trying to learn what changed. And in a system where the relevant question is often, are we still in the same regime as before? That's a fundamentally different approach. On today's episode, we're going to walk through how it works in detail, but first, we're going to look at what makes this problem hard in the first place. The structure of plasma instabilities. The role of bifurcations in tokamak control. And why most existing reduction techniques are too brittle to handle it. A tokamak is a type of fusion reactor that implements a magnetic confinement system, a device that uses magnetic fields to confine plasma in a toroidal, so that's like a donut shape, for the purpose of sustaining nuclear fusion. And for all its geometric elegance, it behaves like a wild animal sometimes. Small perturbations can initiate cascades. Bifurcations in the system state, like transitions from low to high confinement mode, don't just mean subtle shifts in performance. They mark abrupt regime changes where the governing physics transitions from being dominated by linear growth to being regulated by non-linear saturation effects. At that point, the entire underlying attractor structure changes, and that's where standard approaches tend to fall apart. From an engineering standpoint, you want reduced order models that can support fast prediction, anomaly detection, and closed loop control. But the traditional physics-based ROM techniques like Galerkin projection, POD, DMD, are built on linear subspace approximations. They assume the system trajectories evolve on smooth, slowly varying manifolds. That assumption breaks down when you hit a phase transition. It's like a step function. The system doesn't just shift, it jumps attractors. You get entirely different mode structures, new spectral content, altered rotational symmetry, and energy transfer into previously subdominant components. Importantly, those changes are often triggered by seemingly minor parameter variations, small changes in current profile, magnetic shear, or pressure gradient that cross a critical threshold. This is a key point in predictive control. The same input sequence that results in benign oscillations at one moment can lead to a catastrophic regime shift the next. And unless your model captures the structure of those transitions, your controller will miss them. Worse, it might push the system towards them. This is not just a simulation challenge, it's a model fidelity issue. Linearized models and time invariant basis functions are inadequate here because the instability evolution itself is nonlinear. The growth phase is governed by exponential amplification, but saturation and damping are inherently nonlinear, and the final steady state, if it exists, is shaped by self-generated flow fields and energy redistribution. Real-world systems do not evolve along the same low-dimensional subspace forever. They veer off, unpredictably, into new manifolds. Your ROM either has to follow or fail. That's the actual engineering problem. How to encode the critical nonlinear behavior of these systems in a way that is fast, generalizable, and sufficiently accurate to inform real-time decisions. The problem is not dimensionality, per se. It's the dynamic transitions between qualitatively different regimes. And it's those transitions, those bifurcations, that this paper targets head-on. The underlying issue is that these traditional techniques treat bifurcations as outliers rather than core features. In fusion control applications, that's backwards. The nonlinear transitions are the events you need to understand and predict. The state space of a tokamak is not just high dimensional, it's also topologically complex. Capturing the geometry of that space and the transitions between its regions requires a different approach. One that's capable of representing nonlinear structure, learning it from data, and doing so efficiently enough to run in the loop. That's where the authors pivot and where FTL, fusion transfer learning, begins. Let's get into how the model actually works. At its core, it's a convolutional autoencoder that learns to map high-dimensional plasma states into a compressed, latent representation while preserving the essential nonlinear dynamics. But unlike standard autoencoders, which are trained in isolation on a single dataset, this one is built explicitly for transfer learning. That distinction ends up being very important. The initial encoder is trained on over 1,000 spatial snapshots of internal kink modes drawn from GTC simulations of plasma evolution. These are not full simulations, but individual slices without temporal correlation. Each snapshot contains a spatial distribution of the electrostatic potential under a different configuration. The encoder learns a mapping from this input space into a compact three-dimensional latent space. The decoder then learns to reconstruct the original input from these low-dimensional embeddings. Training minimizes the norm of the reconstruction loss with an added L2 penalty on the weights for regularization. Residuals between the original and reconstructed modes are used not just to tune the model, but also to identify anomalies. The encoder itself uses a three-stage convolutional block, 1 to 8 channels, then 16, then 32, each with 3x3 kernels, rectified linear unit activations, and batch normalization. After the convolutions, the activations are flattened and passed through a fully connected layer into a 128-dimensional vector. A tanh, a hyperbolic tangent function activation, constrains the output range. The decoder mirrors this structure in reverse, using transpose convolutions to reconstruct the spatial fields. The overall architecture is relatively lightweight, with just over 200,000 trainable parameters, which makes retraining and transfer feasible even on constrained compute. The purpose of this setup isn't just compression. What it's really doing is learning a latent manifold that captures the dominant coherent structures in the mode data, and it does this while abstracting away irrelevant noise and simulation artifacts. Once trained, this encoder becomes a reusable feature extractor. That's where the transfer learning comes in. In the next phase, the model is fine-tuned using a smaller dataset, just over 100 temporally correlated nonlinear mode snapshots from a separate GTC run that includes kinetic effects. This retraining step adapts the decoder to nonlinear dynamics by continuing to optimize its parameters while keeping the encoder fixed. The decoder learns to reconstruct evolving nonlinear modes, including rotation, flow shear, and structural bifurcations, without needing to retrain the entire model from scratch. That dramatically reduces the number of required training samples, speeds up convergence, and avoids overfitting. By pre-training on a wide array of linear simulations and only fine-tuning the decoder, FTL becomes a low-latency, high-fidelity model that can reconstruct and interpolate complex nonlinear plasma structures using minimal input. That gives a clear advantage over training a fresh model from scratch and avoids the limitations of linear techniques like PCA. Here, the takeaway is that FTL's architecture isn't just compressed, it's composable. You can train once, adapt quickly, and get meaningful reconstructions even in data scarce or compute constrained regimes. We don't have time to go into how they evaluated the system in detail, but that's all in the paper if you want to take a look. The takeaways for the testing are as follows. The FTL model converges faster and generalizes better than baselines, even with half the parameter count. It preserves nonlinear structure across bifurcation points more reliably than PCA or standard autoencoders. And it holds up under sparse sampling, reconstructing key mode features from as few as a couple dozen snapshots. The system they built here is tightly engineered, but extensible. The architecture can be adapted to more complex mode structures by increasing latent dimensionality based on retrain variants. In the future, the infrastructure could move beyond structured grids by replacing CNNs with GNNs, and the model fidelity could be improved further by embedding physical constraints into the optimization loop. All these directions point towards one thing: real-time, physics-aware control systems that operate on compressed representations but retain interpretability and physical consistency. That's the real goal here, and FTL moves the field one step closer. If you're working on surrogate models, control architectures for nonlinear systems, or just want to see how transfer learning can be used to track bifurcations in real time, the paper is worth a download. The authors include full architectural details, training parameters, and error curves for multiple variants. They also benchmark against PCA and show how reconstruction quality holds up, even under sparse sampling. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.